This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Remember, we have a bunch of stuff we have to get to still in the show. We have to make fun of Chuck Schumer. We're going to talk a little bit more about this mortgage fraud stuff. People are running and eating Taco Bell. That's going to be my specialty. We're going to get to emails. We have so much to get to in the show. But you know what time it is. It's the start of the second hour on a Monday, which means it's time for Medal of Honor Monday. It is time to honor a hero, remember his name, and remember his deeds. These people need to be held up in front of our children and our entire culture as something wonderful. All right? Now, we also take emails. Not just your love, hate, and death threats. Not just your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. If you have a Medal of Honor person that you know, or you knew a relative, or from your hometown, or you just love, you can email suggestions. There are a ton of them. There's a big backlog, so don't think you're going to email tonight and we'll be doing it next Monday. That's simply not going to happen. But email them. We'll try to get to them, all right? We got this one. Congressional Medal of Honor Eugene Sasser lives in Houston. I used to work with his son. Look him up, maybe mention it some Monday. I believe he passed away, though, didn't he, Chris? Okay, so he did pass away. And this is Vietnam. He was actually born in Chenango, Texas. Chenango, Texas, United States Army.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity in action at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, Specialist 5 Sasser distinguished himself. Specialist 5th Class, I'm sorry, I'm just going to call him Specialist 5 to shorten it up. Specialist 5 Sasser distinguished himself while assigned to Headquarters and Headquarters Company 3rd Battalion. He was serving as a medical aid man with Company A, 3rd Battalion, on a reconnaissance in force operation. I'll explain that more in a moment. His company was making an air assault when suddenly it was taken under heavy small arms, recoilless rifle, machine gun, and rocket fire from well-fortified enemy positions on three sides of the landing zone. I'll explain that again in a moment too. During the first few minutes, over 30 casualties were sustained. Without hesitation, Specialist 5 Sasser ran across an open rice paddy through a hail of fire to assist the wounded. After helping one man to safety, he was painfully wounded in the left shoulder by fragments of an exploding rocket. Refusing medical attention, he ran through a barrage of rocket and automatic weapons fire to aid casualties of the initial attack. After giving them urgently needed medical treatment, continued to search for other wounded. Despite two additional wounds immobilizing his legs, he dragged himself through the mud toward another soldier 100 meters away. Although in agonizing pain and faint from blood loss, Specialist 5 Sasser reached the man, treated him, and proceeded on to encourage another group of soldiers to crawl 200 meters to relative safety. There, he attended their wounds for 5 hours until they were evacuated. Specialist 5 Sasser's extraordinary heroism is in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States Army. All right. First, I wanted to talk just a couple things about this, give some clarity before we get back to news and other things. What is a reconnaissance in force? Well, you don't know where they are. In military matters, in battles, in wars, this is not just Vietnam, throughout history, we don't think about it this way, but sometimes you couldn't find them. You don't know where they are. You don't know how many of them they are. We imagine that It's all satellite images, right? That you have an exact GPS location on 25 guys there. It doesn't work like that at all. Even today, with satellites and things like that, that doesn't work in heavily wooded areas, mountain terrain. You can't see. You're looking straight down. You don't have other options. You don't know where they are. Okay, so that's fine. You got to go find them. How many do you send, though? Let's rewind all the way back to Roman days. Let's go back there before we go back to Vietnam. If you're looking for what you think might be, remember, you're getting little fragments of intelligence. You think there might be a 20, 30,000 man army of Germans or Celts out there, which actually would not have been a large army for them, but you think there might be 20 or 30,000 of them out there somewhere. How many men do you send to go find them? You send two? Okay. If you send two, then 10 guys catch them and your two guys die. All right. Do you send 100? Well, that's a lot. Then you see, it's always an argument. Now, a reconnaissance in force operation means this. You are sending a oftentimes light, there won't be a huge baggage train behind them. You'll send a light as you can make it, army of significant size so that if they run into problems, they don't have to run away and they won't be wiped out. They can fight, but they're not going to do a super long, sustained operation because they don't have enough stuff. That's reconnaissance in force, all right? In Vietnam, it oftentimes took on this form, and I'll get to the helicopter landing zone in a moment. You take a bunch of your guys because of the jungle, and pause, remember, the Vietnamese were geniuses at hiding things. Most people know about the tunnels. They had this really, really intricate miles and miles of tunnels, underground tunnels that was more than just a tunnel getting from A to B. Underwater hospitals. You would sleep under there, eat under there. They were like moles. They would go under the ground and so you couldn't see them even with planes, with helos. Walking on them half the time, you couldn't see them. It's not like the tunnel had a sign on it, right? So they were not only great at tunnels, they were amazing at using the jungle to cover up what was there so planes and helicopters couldn't see it from above. One story I read, and I forget what the book was, a guy was standing. He was standing on the road, but it didn't look like a road. And it took him a while standing on the road to figure out it wasn't a road. So he and his boys step off to figure out what's going on. Here's what they find. The trees are tied together in such a way. They string the trees together so the trees completely cover up the road during the day. Then they have guys with buckets and buckets of leaves to spread it over the road during the day. The sun goes down. They untie the trees. They sweep off the road. There's now a road where an hour earlier there was no road. And then at night, they do all their thing, driving people back and forth. As soon as the sun's getting ready to start coming up, whip, 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 tie all the trees back together, dump the buckets of leaves, the road disappears. I know it was ingenious. So they were really quite good at it. You had to send people out. Now, how in the world could a bunch of helicopters land and have three of the four sides of a landing zone immediately open up with this kind of firepower? Let me go ahead and spoil it for you. Either you're the most unlucky unit in the world and you landed right in the middle of a Vietnamese company's headquarters, which did happen, or they knew you were coming. There were so many leaks with communist sympathizers from South Vietnam where they would simply leak every detail of our operations to the enemy. The enemy knew the landing zones. The enemy knew how many guns to bring. The enemy, and look, flying in a helicopter, I don't know how much you've done it, can be nerve-wracking anyway. In peacetime, it's just it's an awkward thing. I've never liked him. I've told you that before. I've never liked him. I've done it more than once. I've never liked him. In peacetime, it can be awkward and a little nerve-wracking if you let your mind start playing tricks on you. You know what it's like to have people shooting rockets and AK-47s at you when you're landing or taking off? I don't. And I don't want to know. Very brave man right there. Clarence Eugene Sasser. How about that? All right. I want to get back to something J.D. Vance actually said, and then we're going to move on. We have to talk about the state, the administrative state. I'm going to touch on something J.D. Vance said. Before we do that, I want to talk to you about the state of the corporate world, which is bad. What they haven't farmed out to foreigners, they've given to American communists. That's why when you pay your Verizon bill, you fund street communism. Did you ever think you'd get to a place as a country where your cell phone company funds communist street groups? Isn't that freaking horrible? You remember when these people were tearing down Christopher Columbus statues, they were doing it with corporate sponsorship. Did your cell phone company participate? I would highly recommend you look. Switch to Pure Talk. Pick up your cell phone. Take 10 minutes. You can do it during the break. Switch to the company that hires Americans. You'll actually get to speak to an American on the phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you even more money, and you're patronizing a company that loves this country. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. And before I get back to this shutdown and what J.D. Vance said, I wanted to clarify. I've told you before that the history stuff I've been doing on the show, that Jewish producer Chris and producer Corey have been busting their butts to get it on YouTube so you can go enjoy the YouTube version of it, all right? And they're really putting their heart and soul into this. I'm not involved in this at all. They're starting to add pictures and stuff like that. It's going to get better and better as time goes on. And this is all free, remember. We're not charging for any of this. If you go to the Jesse Kelly Show YouTube page, at Jesse Kelly Show, Chris tells me they have separated out the history stuff. So if you want to dump the politics, and they'll be able to find it easily, Chris. Chris said you should be, it should be obvious. You'll be able to find it. You want to nerd out on history? I know the holidays are coming up. You know I won't be here a bunch. This is the way it goes in the holidays. You want to go just geek out on old things? At Jesse Kelly Show. Yes, that's right, Chris. Even the dirty America-hating communists who enjoy history can go enjoy it. The Jesse Kelly Show YouTube page. All right? So there you go. Now, I understand that J.D. Vance has to message it like
the longer
this.
It goes on, Maria, the more significant they're going to be. If you remember, we went 9 days before announcing any significant layoffs. Again, the president of the United States wanted to reopen the government. He was trying to work with Democrats in order to make that happen. But the longer this goes on, the deeper the cuts are going to be. And Maria, to be clear, some of these cuts are going to be painful. This is not a situation that we relish. This is not something that we're looking forward to. But the Democrats have dealt us a...
Yeah, it's a lie. I know he has to tell the lie. I'm not complaining. But they're not painful. This is glorious. I'll explain more in a moment. He has to keep making the rounds and saying this. Hey, we don't want to do it.
Why are these firings necessary?
Well, I just think it shows the different priorities of Democrats and Republicans in the midst of these shutdowns. You really have to ask yourself, who do we care more about? Federal bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., or low-income women getting the food benefits they deserve, our troops getting the payment they need, flood insurance across the Southeast in the midst of hurricane season?
But laying people off is a priority.
We have to lay off some federal workers. Kristen, if you would let me finish, we have to lay off some federal workers in the midst of this shutdown to preserve the essential benefits for the American people that the government does provide. So okay. We don't want to be in this situation. We don't want to be laying off federal workers, but the Democrats have shut down the government. They have forced us to choose.
Okay, that's the messaging. And it's smart messaging. I'm not complaining at all. Smart messaging, but no, we need this. And I'm going to play you something. It's going to sound unrelated. It's not. This is John Solomon. He does just the news. He does a bunch of really good reporting. In fact, we should get John on. I like John a lot. He's oftentimes has the scoop before there's a scoop. Do you remember the letter that was signed by 51 intelligence officials saying that Donald Trump, you know, colluded with Russia? This was the one that said Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. You remember that? Listen to this.
This is a very important email. It comes from the former CIA director, Mike Morrell. Yes, the guy that organized that letter from the 51 intelligence professionals who tried to fake you into thinking that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation when it wasn't. It is between him and John Brennan, one of the signatories. You know who John Brennan is. He was Obama's CIA director, right? He's the guy that told Obama, hey, Hillary Clinton is doing a dirty trick on Donald Trump called Russia collusion. Well, this is just before the presidential debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Hunter Biden's laptop is flinging out there. This is what Mike Morrell, former CIA director, tells his successor, John Brennan. Hey, sign this letter because I'm, quote, trying to give the campaign, particularly during the debate on Thursday, a talking point to push back on Trump on this issue. A man with a security clearance, a man with the title of CIA director, knew that he wasn't creating an intelligence product, a Merrick civic duty with 51 people. He was trying to create a political moment.
I want you to take this in and how significant this is. And I realize this is stuff we knew, but the Central Intelligence Agency is the largest, most well-funded, most powerful spy agency on the planet. Multiple directors of the CIA. We're not talking some dirty commie in the mailroom. Directors of the Central Intelligence Agency have chosen to declare war on the American right, up to and including lying to the American people so Joe Biden could win an election. Now, back to the cuts, the deep state cuts. They have to be a lot deeper than 4,000 people. It doesn't matter who the next president is or the one after that or the one after that. If we have a million communists throughout the government working to undermine every Republican administration, trying to kneecap it to buy time until the Democrats come back and the revolution can continue apace, we can't survive like that. The rot is deep. It's at the highest levels of our government. The cleanout must be deeper. You have to get all the cancer. You can't leave even a little behind. When in doubt, cut too deep. I know we have to take the public line of, I don't want to do it, but I hope that's not the actual attitude. Cut deep. All right. Do some emails next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get to a lot of these now. Tiny Hands, Jesse, I've never been more upset about anything you've said or done on your show than your rigged election for Haiti. Somalia is a war-torn hellhole. Are you some hacky sack kicking man bun latte drinking hippie that believes Haiti is cursed so you can just change the election results? So many people are mad that I changed. Look, I told you before the voting started that I ultimately retain veto power. So you could beg and plead.
In the name of a just, merciful God.
I'm not changing anything. Haiti's the worst country on earth. Jesse, being as how you pretty much 100% nailed it in terms of what needs to be done by the Department of Justice, Pam Bondi, with help from Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, someone needs to go to jail. With the influence and connections you have, is there any way you can get a meeting with the Justice Department head of the FBI and let people know that people want and demand that someone goes to prison? I listen almost every night. I learn so much from you, so on and so forth. Okay. All right. So let me say this. I have used this analogy multiple times. In fact, I'm pretty sure I used it on Thursday, but I'm going to use it again. And I am worried that it very much applies to our government. Just hang with me. If you have lived your life, let's say you're 40 years old, and you've never exercised, and you eat terribly, and you weigh 350 pounds. All right. So everything else aside, all the other health problems, you are not just out of shape. You're somebody who you don't even really understand what it means to be in shape. You don't even have like the base muscles under all that fat. And if this is you, by the way, you can change it. I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just explaining. Now, let's say you visit Montana. You go up to Glacier National Park. You want to pick huckleberries. You'll probably put them in ice cream. But either way, you want to pick huckleberries. They're amazing. And while you're out there, a very large, very angry grizzly bear starts charging at you from across the field. Now, the situation is this. You have to get away. You have to. Your car is half a mile away. You have to sprint half a mile. It's not an option. You're going to die if you don't. But you can't. Yeah, you have to, but you can't. I just brought up the administrative state. For decades, the communists have set out to do something, and they've been extremely successful. They've sought out to do two things. Fill the government up with committed communists who will always work for the revolution, while at the same time, protect government workers from being fired. You realize how absurd it is that we need special circumstances like a government shutdown to let go of 4,000 government employees? These people work for the taxpayer. At any time, the president should be able to walk into any organization and say, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired, you're all fired. They should be the easiest people to fire in the country. They're the hardest people to fire. Anyway, communists have worked for decades to do that. Now, let's specifically talk about the DOJ and the FBI, because you and me, we understand they have to run that half mile. We have to have John Brennan in prison, James Comey in prison. This has to happen to save our country. Corrupt government officials have to go to prison. We have to have it. The FBI. Antifa is an international, not national, international terrorist ring. Communist terrorist ring committing acts of violence across the globe. They're also, like many terrorist organizations, extremely decentralized, which makes it more and more confusing. There's not one head of Antifa. It's difficult. We have to have an FBI that can and will track it, infiltrate it, and destroy it. We have to have that. We got to run that half mile. Grizzly bear's coming. Are we too fat? Let's address the FBI first before we get to the DOJ. The FBI, for years, and this got turned into overdrive under Obama. We've talked about it many times before. Obama was not passive. Obama dug in, and he started retiring everybody he could who might be against him, while at the same time promoting into leadership all the committed communists who hated America like he did. Now, that was back during Barack Obama. Those communists have in turn been purging others and promoting other communists and hiring new communists and new communists. The entire organization is garbage crap. Now let's go to the DOJ. Let's say Pam Bondi is the sword of God we've been looking for at the DOJ, which obviously she's not. My thoughts are well known. But let's say Pam Bondi was amazing. She's one woman. She has to track down and prosecute the financiers of all this. She has to track down James Comey, John Brennan, go up against $2,000 an hour attorneys. She needs horses. She needs a legal team. Well, where are you getting those people? The communists have filled up the law schools in this country for ages. They're the most left-wing group in any university. It's the law schools. That's one. Two, on top of all the scumbag lawyers who are totally America-hating dirtballs who graduate law school every single year, Pam Bondi has to go up against this fact. The left, these legal associations in the country, set out and succeeded in many ways to destroy any lawyer who represented Donald Trump. Any lawyer involved in the Trump area got destroyed, disbarred, you name it. Now, even let's just say Jewish producer Chris was a lawyer, which is not a huge stretch to imagine. Let's say Jewish producer Chris is a lawyer. He's obviously a hardcore right winger. Let's say he's a great one. He's one of these $2,000 an hour attorneys. All right. Hey, Chris, I need you to come work for the DOJ because I have to throw deep state communists in prison. Well, Chris has worked for 25 years building up Chris and Chris Jewish lawyers. It's the law practice. What, Chris? It's your name of your law firm out of New York. They're happily right wing. Huge law firm, lucrative. He has to understand if he comes to work for Pam Bondi, throws James Comey in prison, he quite possibly loses everything he's worked his whole life for. We have to run a half mile, and we have to do it really, really quickly because that grizzly bear is coming. We have to do it. We might be too fat. I'm not trying to be doomer. I'm not, but to answer your question, hey, can you, he was asking me, can you use your influence to let them know, to talk to them about this? Think I haven't? Think my cell phone is just for playing Angry Birds? Think I haven't? No, Chris, I don't play it anymore. I used to be quite good. But you think my cell phone is just playing Angry Birds? You think that is not known, by the way? You think Dan Bongino doesn't know what needs to be done? What if we're too fat? You can't decide you have to run a half mile after a lifetime of doing nothing. We're in a bad spot. It's going to take time. You don't turn a ship this size around on a dime. It's a very large ship. It's full of communists. We've got to turn it very, very slowly, all right? Just get your chalk and get ready. This is a marathon, not a sprint. A marathon. You need to get your T levels up and get ready for it. A male vitality stack from chalk will help you. A male vitality stack from chalk is natural herbal supplements. I know, I'm well aware that there's a low T clinic on every corner in your town. They're everywhere. Where they're happy to stab a needle in your arm. Don't do that, man. Come on. Handle it naturally. We have low testosterone in this country because we drink birth control. It's practically what we do. The estrogens are everywhere. How do we fix it? Combat it naturally. You are 90 days away from being in a great mood all the time. Doesn't that sound good? Full of energy. You ready to go for a walk when you get home? You're about to be. C-H-O-Q. Go to chuck.com/Jesse and get a subscription. Your life is going to change. chuck.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So let me tell you something. Speaking of running or not running or being out of shape, I don't run really anymore. I go on rucks. I go on hikes. That's what I try to do for cardio. I don't run because my freaking knee will start. Shut up, Chris. You're going to be 44 one day too. My knee doesn't like it. I'll put it to you that way. It doesn't like it. So I've given up running. No need. What, Chris? What? Chris said, so I loaded up on a ruck. You sound like my wife. Okay. Ob said the exact same thing. If you can't run, then why are you doing that? It's totally different. All right. It's kind of different. It's a little bit different. Either way, I don't run anymore, but I think I'm going to start running. Denver hosts a 31-mile run where racers have to constantly consume Taco Bell. I think I could do it because the problem is it's a problem of motivation, you see. It's a problem of motivation. If I don't feel the desire to run to get in shape, and I don't, I mean, you can rock and hike and be in great shape, it's fine, then why would I go? I would go if there was free Taco Bell the whole time. And maybe you're thinking, but then you wouldn't be able to run. No, it's called fuel. I used to, before we go on these long humps in the Marine Corps, I used to go out the night before, and I would get 2 foot-long Subway cheesesteaks, you know, the authentic ones, 2 of them. The first one I would consume right there on the spot the night before a hump. The second one, I would wake up, hammer it right before we took off. You can mock me all you want. That is filling up your body with the energy it needs, the good, healthy nutrition you need to get all the way. It is amazing. Well, at least it used to be amazing. And I highly recommend it. I say used to be. Chris said, how did you not puke? Who said I didn't puke? That's one. 2, you know, people who've never done humps or forced marches is what people normally call them. We called them humps in the Marine Corps. People who've never done humps don't understand how completely draining they are to the body because it just looks like guys are walking with packs on. When you get off, you want to hear something gross? Then we're going to do some emails. You want to hear something disgusting? When you get done with a hump, like you get back to base, let's say you did 10 miles, you drop your pack, you drop your gear. You'll be soaked, obviously, in sweat. Soaked all the way through your camis, soaked through all of it. Very quickly, it will dry. And your green camis or even desert camis, whatever kind you're wearing, they will be practically white. Why are they white? Because your body has sweated all the salt out of it. And now, when your camis dry, they are so crusted with salt, you can stand them up against the wall when you're done. They're brutal, man. They're absolutely brutal. But it's a great way to weed out the men and the boys. Dear Jesse, the Cannonball Kelly, I think the majority of our country's problems started with the hippies. Sounds like my dad. The drugs, the rebellious attitude, and the communist sympathy and beliefs. When you think of the Americans in the 30s and 40s, they were people dressed nice, and they spoke more elegantly, and they were patriotic. The guy wasn't alive during the 60s and the drug era and things like that. I think there are a lot of people who feel the exact same way. And you're probably not necessarily wrong about that playing a part in it. I'm not arguing. I don't disagree. But in my opinion, I think a lot of where we are today is because of Vietnam. And I don't mean the war itself, which you can have your own opinions about. I talk about it all the time. I'm talking about the government lying to us, knowingly lying in order to manipulate the American people into justifying them doing something. I'm not dumb. I know governments always lie. I know the American government has lied a bunch of times throughout history. But I would argue, just my argument, I know you'll email me smart things if you disagree. I would argue that is the first time in American history where the White House itself chose to tell gigantic, outright lies to the American people to justify a large-scale military action where tens of thousands of Americans died. They lied. And they knew they lied, and that in conjunction with all the hippie 60s, druggy, weird crap, that in conjunction with those two things together shattered the bond the American people had with their government, and it has never recovered. And I have asked older people who were alive back then, I've asked them about my theory on this. I'm not the only one who has this theory. Other people have said it. Other people have thought it. And almost to a man and to a woman said, oh, yeah, that's true. the bond was shattered. What, Chris? Chris said, why did the White House think it was so important to go and fight in Vietnam? You know, I'm not trying to dance around your answer, but that's actually not important, in my opinion. The important part of I'm trying to say is it's not the actual fighting in Vietnam. The White House wanted something they knew the American people didn't want, and they chose to just tell gigantic, outright lies to the American people, and that is something we have never recovered from. Never recovered from. You said, why lie? But why lie? Because we didn't want to go. The American people didn't want to. The American people have a our founding was non-interventionist. You stay out of it. Now, if you want to go send 100,000 troops to the jungles of Vietnam, we all know Vietnam today. Nobody knew Vietnam back then. No one cared about it. No one knew about it. There was nothing the Johnson administration and Kennedy, let's be honest, he was the one who started it. There was nothing they could have told the American people to make them care about Vietnam. But they cared about Vietnam, so they lied. It's bad. All right, enough of this. Let's talk a little bit about Democrats getting arrested. That's awesome. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.